الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we praise Allah abundantly and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension and grant peace and send His blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-An'am. Last week we stopped at ayah number 12. Today inshallah we'll begin the discussion on ayah number 13 and whatever Allah facilitates. Ayah 13 reads, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم وله ما سكن في الليل والنهار وهو السميع العليم. And to him belongs that which reposes by night and by day, and he is the hearing, the knowing. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di رحمه الله says in commenting on this particular ayah, اعلم أن هذه السورة الكريمة قد اشتملت على تقرير التوحيد بكل دليل عقلي ونقلي. He says, know that this particular surah, this noble surah, has comprehensively addressed and established tawheed. Surah what? Al-An'am. Is the surah of what? Tawheed. With every logical and textual evidence. Very important. عقلي and نقلي. عقل is your brain, the intellect. نقل, technically speaking or literally speaking, نقل is dictation or copying, right? نقلت something meaning I copied it from one source to another source. But because it has to do with writing or it has to do with something which has been shifted from one to another to another, انتقال الشيء, like انتقال from مدينة إلى مدينة, you move from one city to another city. نقل refers to that which has been narrated to us as a textual evidence. So when you want to give da'wah, you may use both, or you may focus on one more than the other, depending on what? Your mood? Huh? Depending on what? Situation. Type, which is what specifically?
On the audience.
Yes.
Community.
The audience, the person you're giving da'wah to. You're speaking to an atheist who does not believe in God, let alone Quran. Now, you may cite some verses from the Quran that may not do the job because of this person's issue. So you refer to intellectual evidences to prove to him the fallacy of his belief. Or you can cite an ayah from the Quran as the foundation and then give tens of examples from an intellectual point of view. Because citing the Quran to that person may not be effective. I'm not saying we don't cite the Quran. You use ayat which refute the atheists. But you have to see which one do you need in order to bring this opponent on your side. So you have aqli and naqli. Naqli here is textual evidence. So this ayah or this surah, it addresses, it establishes tawheed from an intellectual point of view. So you have an argument when you're dealing with the non-Muslims. And from a textual point of view, meaning you use this surah to cite ayat to prove that there's la ilaha illallah. Or to prove la ilaha illallah. بل كادت أن تكون كلها في شأن التوحيد ومجادلة المشركين بالله المكذبين لرسوله. Interesting. He said, rather, it is almost as if this whole surah is about nothing but tawheed. And it is an argument. It gives you the argument which you will use against the polytheists in Allah and the deniers of the messengers. So if you're debating, and not necessarily debating on a stage with audience where you do this whole debate Muslim-Christian thing, that's another discussion. It is allowed, but it may not be the best way of da'wah, because it generates a lot of emotions and defensiveness and so on and so forth. But the Shaykh is saying this surah in itself is an argument that you use when you want to tackle these issues with the mushrikeen. فهذه الآيات ذكر الله فيها ما يتبين به الهدى These particular, alaykum salam, these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in it what through that through which guidance manifests. Guidance manifests. وَيَنْقَمِعُ بِهِ الشِّرْكِ, and that through which shirk is destroyed and demolished. فَذَكَرَ أَنَّ لَهُ تَعَالَى مَا سَكَنَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ كُلَّهَا أو كُلِّهَا. Everything which reposes in the night and the day belongs to Allah. The Shaykh said this includes all of the creation. مِنْ آدَمِيهَا وَجِنِّهَا وَمَلَائِكَتِهَا وَحَيَوَانَاتِهَا وَجَمَادَاتِهَا. Everything is included. Human beings, huh? It's called Adami. Why was he called Adami? From Adam, descendants of Adam. Good. So you say Bani Adam. Ya Bani Adam, Allah says in the Quran, speaking to us. Ya Bani Adam, or children of Adam. And linguistically they say Adami, meaning a human being. Huh? Wajinniha, the jinn. What are the jinn? Who can describe jinn? As per the smokeless fire. That's the key word right there. That adjective is important. That adjective is important. Smokeless fire. I mean, their nature is fire. It doesn't mean that someone's burning, you know, and then, because if someone's burning with smoke, then soon after they will just perish and be disintegrated into dust. So it's their nature to be from fire. Do we see them? Are they from the seen or the unseen?
Unseen.
Can some people deal with them and work with them? Sure. Magicians. Magicians have a very good relationship. David, the Copperfield, and these crazy people that make things disappear, inevitably they work with the shayateen. And we know from Sulaiman alayhi salam that, you know, they're able to do certain things. The shayateen would dive for him, and they would create things, and they would sculpture things for Sulaiman. I mean, he put him to work. So they have this ability and capability.
They are more advanced than human beings.
Allahu a'lam. You say you have better than Samson, yani? وَمَلَائِكَتِهَا, and their angels. Huh? So included are the human beings, the jinn, the malaika, and the animals, and the jamadat. Jamadat are the non-living beings. Yeah, like trees and stuff. That's why some people say, yeah, but they're alive, you know, like they're living. No, they're not living. Technically speaking, a tree is a living being in one sense, but it doesn't have a soul. You don't slaughter a tree, say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Chop it off, and then, you know, blood flows, and then you go eat it. Because some people say, how come you're allowed in Islam to draw trees and rivers and the sun and the moon, even though the creation of Allah, and you're not allowed to draw human beings and animals? Well, they're all living beings, yeah, but these ones are possessors of soul. And these other things are not possessors of soul. Even though they're living in some way, they have cells in them and so on and so forth, no doubt. But it doesn't have a soul. The soul is the differentiating factor. Now, فَالْكُلُّنْ خلق مدبرون. So all of them are creation that have their affairs arranged. No control, no self-control in this sense. وعبيد مسخرون لربهم العظيم. And all of them are slaves that are basically have been in a state of servitude, like they've been dedicated just for the recognition of their great Lord. القاهر المالك. Al-Qahir, the irresistible. Al-Malik is the owner or the sovereign. فَهَلْ يَصُحُّ فِي عَقْلٍ وَنَقْلٍ أَنْ يَعْبُدَ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمَمَالِكِ أَوْ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمَمَالِكِ الَّذِي لَا نَفْعَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَا ضَرْ. Does it make sense afterwards then, whether from an intellectual point of view or from a textual point of view, that you worship besides Allah some property of His? A property? Mamalik. Which, huh? Who cannot possess for themselves any good, nor can they prevent any harm? Doesn't make any sense. When you can worship the owner of everything, why in the world would you worship an owned property that itself is in need of Allah? So you're referring to something that is also weak. It could be stronger than you, but it is also weak. And only a retard would do that. Yani someone's drowning, huh? And they see five people that could save his life. One of them, mashallah, tabarakallah, is boom. Yani his muscles are about to rip. The guy will pick you up with his pinky like this from the water and put you on the boat. And then you have another four flimsy guys. One of them is falling into the water himself, and the other one is half a kilo. And you go leave all these and go. You leave the big guy and you want one of these guys to save your life. So as soon as you give him your hand, he falls into the water with you and both of you drown. Yes, he has an edge over you that he's not in the water drowning, he's on the boat. So he's better. But you also refer to the weakest. Tab, what about this big guy who was right next to you? Who was telling you come? I mean, it's guaranteed. Of course, this is an example. And to Allah belongs the highest example. I'm just trying to bring the idea on these people referring to the creation. And these creation may be angels, they may be prophets, they may be whatever. So they're superior to the human being. But at the end of the day, they also need Allah. So you haven't established anything really. You're just going around in circles. Na'am. وَيُتْرَكُ الْإِخْلَاصُ لِلْخَالِقِ. And then being sincere to Allah in worship is therefore abandoned. المدبر المالك الضار النافع. The arranger of the affairs, the sovereign, the one who actually provides, the one who benefits and harms. It's all in Allah's hands. أم العقول السليمة والفطر المستقيمة تدعو إلى إخلاص العبادة والحب والخوف والرجاء لله رب العالمين. Or is it that the sound intellect and the love and the fear and hope should all call to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the world? السَّمِيعُ لِجَمِيعِ الْأَصْوَاتِ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ اللُّغَاتِ بِتَفَنُّنِ الْحَاجَاتِ. Who can translate this? السَّمِيعُ لِجَمِيعِ الْأَصْوَاتِ. Yes. Very good. Huh? عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ اللُّغَاتِ. Either no answer or everybody answers together. All I heard is, huh? Abdul Hadi, or who's gonna answer?
We understand all the languages.
Aywa. Ikhtilaf is variation or difference, meaning the variant. Lughat, lugha, language. Sah? How many languages do people speak on earth? Allahu A'lam. I lost count. I wasn't counting anyways. But that's a lot. Can يعني, and so Allah Azza wa Jalla, does He understand all languages? Absolutely. Hey, بتفنن الحاجات. This one is tough. Meaning, while taking into consideration the various needs, يعني, all these people making sounds, huh? Even though they may be speaking the same language or different languages, each one has a tailored, customized, special need that is personal to him. All this is irrelevant. As far as Allah is concerned, it's all the same. العليم بما كان وما يكون وما لم يكن لو كان كيف كان يكون. أيوة. See the beauty of the Arabic language, and this is not rap. Huh? العليم بما كان. He knows what has happened in the past. كان is in the ماضي, past tense. وما يكون. What will happen? Here the present tense is in reference to the future. As in the English language, you say, I'm going to work. It's actually a present continuous, but you mean I'm going to work later on today, not right now. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. And he knows that which did not happen, had it happened, how it would have happened. Got it? That which didn't happen, if Allah allowed it to happen, what state it would be in, Allah knows that as well. But we never got to know it because it never happened. Hey. Al-Muttali'u ala al-Zawahiri wal-Bawatin. The one who knows the outer and the inner. The apparent and the hidden. Psh, no one else can do that. Huh? I mean, when you're dealing with human beings, you can easily have two personalities. Right? You can have one that is apparent and one that is hidden. Yeah, that works with everybody. Not with Allah. It's all the same. Allah sees the inside and the outside. So, Allah musta'an. Ayah 14. Look at the correlation now. قل أغير الله أتخذ وليا فاطر السماوات والأرض وهو يطعم ولا يطعم قل إني أمرت أن أكون أول من أسلم ولا تكونن من المشركين. The English equivalent would be something like this. Say, is it other than Allah I should take as a protector, creator of the heavens and the earth, while it is He who feeds and is not fed? Say, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, indeed I have been commanded to be the first among you who submit to Allah, and was commanded, do not ever be of the polytheists. Let's see what the Shaykh rahimahullah had to say on this ayah. Right. قل لهؤلاء المشركين بالله أغير الله أتخذ وليا من هؤلاء المخلوقات العاجزة يتولاني. Say to these polytheists who are associating partners with Allah, should I take any other than Allah any protector from among these creatures that are unable or they are incompetent to be my protector وينصرني and to give me victory؟ قل فلا أتخذ من دونه تعالى وليا لأنه فاطر السماوات والأرض. I will never take beside Allah a protector because Allah is the originator or the creator or the maker of the heavens and the earth. أي خالقهما ومدبرهما. Allah is their creator and the one who arranges their affairs. وهو يطعم ولا يطعم. أي وهو الرزاق لجميع الخلق من غير حاجة منه تعالى إليهم. So he is the provider of all the creation without him being in need of anything from them. What name of Allah embodies this meaning? Which name and attribute of Allah embodies this very meaning?
Razzaq.
I know we've learned it together. Yeah, Razzaq. Razzaq indicates that he's a provider. But it does not address the issue of him being self-sufficient. There's a Allahu Samad, ahsant. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu Samad. No. Alim what? Alim is the all-knowing. We're talking about the quality which proves that Allah, everyone needs Allah and he doesn't need anyone. This is as-Samad, the absolute. Meaning everything is in need of Allah, he is in need of none. That's exactly the meaning. Do we need Allah to provide us with food? If Allah didn't provide us with food, what would happen? Starve and die. Does Allah need anything of us? Absolutely not. That's why in the other surah, what did Allah say? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالرَّزَاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah said in that very ayah that He does not want of us any sustenance, nor does He want us to feed Him. It is Allah who is the one who gives, the possessor of power, the mighty. Subhana. نعم. فَكَيْفَ يَلِيقُ أَنْ أَتَّخِذَ وَلِيًّا غَيْرَ الْخَالِقِ الرَّزَّاقِ الْغَنِيِّ الْحَمِيدِ. So how is it appropriate then that I take besides Him, besides the Creator, a protector? And He is the creator and the provider. He is the all-rich and the one who's deserving of praise. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمِ اللَّهِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَانْقَادَ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ. I was commanded to be the among the first to submit to Allah in tawheed and then in obedience to Him. لِأَنِّي أَوْلَى مِنْ غَيْرِ بِامْتِثَالِ أَوَامِرِ رَبِّي. Because I am more deserving and it is more incumbent on me than others to obey the commands of my Lord. Why? The Messenger of Allah, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَيْ وَنُهِيتُ أَيْضًا عَنْ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Excuse me. I was also prevented from being among the mushrikeen. لَا فِي اعْتِقَادِهِمْ وَلَا فِي مُجَالَسَتِهِمْ وَلَا فِي الْإِجْتِمَاعِ بِهِمْ فَهَذَا أَفْرَضُ الْفُرُوضِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَوْجَبُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. The Shaykh said, meaning I cannot be with the mushrikeen, not in their belief, not in what they believe, and believe it or not, the Muslims today have adopted from Jews and Christians and Buddhists and Hindus all types of beliefs that they've integrated into Islam. which goes specifically against this ayah. Huh? Specifically against this ayah. And of course, the examples are too many to enumerate right now. Nor in their mujalasatim, in their company. Being in their company. Of course, exempt or excluded from that is a da'wah effort. Is a da'wah session. Wherein you will mix with any creature on earth to try to give him da'wah. What is being referred to here is the state of relaxation and comfortability where you and the mushrik are like totally fine together. Total harmony between the two of you without any da'wah being associated. This is what this ayah is referring to. Because that would lead to compromise. It would lead to compromise. He's your buddy and you know you don't want to be too tough and you don't want to know, but he doesn't understand the Islamic rulings, so you will look over, you will ignore 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 for fulan. So it will actually backfire. Huh? وَلَا فِي الْإِجْتِمَاعِ بِهِمْ Nor in gathering with them. Of course, this also refers to their a'yad. To their a'yad. What is a'yad? Verses? Signs? Ya Sheikh! Wallahi, new language. A'yad, Eid. There you are. A'yad is the plural of Eid, Ya Sheikh. Holidays or holiday, Eid. Festival, whatever you want to call it. That which happens on annual basis or on constant basis. That's called Eid. Aada ya'udu Eid means something which reoccurs. That's what it is. So all of their holidays, then we don't join them. So your cousin or your uncle or your grandma tells you, come on, we have a Christmas party. And I know you're Muslim and everything. You don't have to do anything. It's okay. You don't have to worship with us. You just come and, drink some wine and enjoy yourself. Huh? Ma fi mushkila. There you are. You're like, oh, huh? I'm coming tomorrow. No, ya Sheikh. You're not going anywhere. You can't go.
Take you a hamper, you can accept it.
Hamburger? Not on Christmas.
A hamper.
Christmas hamper. Oh, now of course you cannot.
If they send us food, usually they do that in our country.
Aywa, ala tool.
Are you supposed to eat that?
No, you're not supposed to eat that. Any food which is made with an intention of some festival, even if it's Mawlid al-Nabi, you do not eat that food. Because that food now is not standard food. It's a special spiritually oriented food. You cannot eat it. They send you some cake or something or from a turkey from their, Easter or whatever that thing is. No, it wasn't Easter. What's that other holiday where they have turkey? No.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go. Ah, you got them confused, man. Well, they eat everything all the time. But they give you something? No. ما في مشكلة. You sacrifice for the sake of Allah. It's okay, yani. We need to lose some weight anyways. So a big deal if you didn't eat it.
Sheikh, our neighbor in Sri Lanka is a Buddhist. He sent the sweet cookies only during his celebration.
No.
That cookies you cannot eat.
You cannot eat it. You ate some? Vomit right now. Don't worry about it. Khalas, whatever happened in the past is gone. But in the future, Habibi, you don't need these cookies. The proof?
For this, that proof, Surah Maidah, I know it, but again he says that is with regards to what is being served to the God or something.
Nah, the evidence.
Not eating just for a festival. I mean, I don't eat it for Alhamdulillah, of course. But he's asking a proof for this.
Nah, the proof is general, foundational concept in Islam, which no one can come today and refute them. They're from the core of our religion. يعني for example in Surah Al-Furqan Allah Azza wa Jalla when he described Ibad al-Rahman وَلَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ they do not witness, they are not present in any type of false action or false event. So this ayah, if you read the tafsir and the meaning and the foundation it establishes, is that the believer, anything which has something that contradicts the sunnah, the Quran and the sunnah, the believer does not witness that, does not involve himself. He does not engage in that. So this is from these principles, from these foundational principles that are based on the concept of tawheed and shirk actually. Because that food, it doesn't have to be that there's a hadith that says, if the Hindu, your Hindu neighbor gives you a cookie, then do not eat it. Because that's what some people, funny people want. So you give me the hadith that says, yeah, captain, you don't understand Islam. Islam is not as per what you want, a particular hadith. It's foundational principles. This is among them. This food, which was made, is in analogy, is like the animals which were sacrificed for other than Allah. Sahih? But because it's a cookie, it's not an animal. The cookie is not an animal. So, but they made this cookie, whether it is Mawlid al-Nabawi or something else. They made it with what? Is it a standard regular cookie or does it have some religious values attached to it? It has religious values. So you're going to go and eat it? It doesn't make sense.
That's the problem. My problem is that I have with him is
the
foundation. You don't have his foundation.
The fact that it's Hanafi does not mean he doesn't understand that. He just doesn't know, brother. Because the Ahnaf, the Hanafi madhab in and of itself, is sometimes the most strict among the other madhahib in these issues, by the way. But what we have today of a so-called Hanafi, he really is not following the madhab al-Hanafi in its ultimate sense. That's why if you look at the aqidah of Imam Abu Hanifa and his aqidah, you find he is maybe Diobandi or Maturidi or something else. So they're Hanafi by name, they're not Hanafi by essence. We're going to go continue the tafsir or what? Just because we mentioned food, all this fitna came? خلاص يا عمي fast يا عمي. تفضل يا عبد الهادي تفضل.
If the situation is your neighbor, your brother is Muslim, you're Muslim, they offer you a food, and then you didn't ask what is the celebration or whatever. And then you find that this food, yani, the brother gave it to you because they celebrate birthday, and you found it later, oh, it's birthday.
خلاص.
You need it?
You ate it already, man. Yeah, you ate it already, right? You ate it.
If he did not, if he knows that this is offered by his brother, which is Muslim, because of birthday.
See, if you know for a fact here, if you don't know, don't ask. Meaning it's inappropriate. Someone suddenly knocks on your door, gives you a cake. Is it a birthday cake? Say, okay, take it easy. So you don't take that route. Unless you know, he told you, my son's birthday is next week and blah, blah, blah. And that week later, he's suddenly giving you a cake. Khalas, you understand this is a birthday cake? Then no, you cannot eat it. If you knew before that, beforehand, you cannot eat it. If he gave it to you, you ate it the next day, he told you, by the way, the cake I gave you yesterday was a birthday cake. Khalas, what are you going to do? Say, okay, let me go to the bathroom, I'll be right back.
I have a question on this. Is it shirk?
No, of course it's not shirk. None of this is shirk. Even if you ate this cookie, or you ate this turkey, or whatever, it does not come, it's just a sin. Unless you ate it thinking, this cookie is going to increase my iman. Or this cookie is a holy cookie. When you took it to a whole other level of your belief, then we have an issue. Otherwise, it's not an act of polytheism. But it's just a sin, in the sense that you are you're endorsing, you're acknowledging, you are partaking in the event. The whole thing is about you partaking in the event. When you eat something that does it from a festival, and you become a part of it, even indirectly, that's what we're trying to avoid. Khalas, can we move on, please?
Yes.
You have a.
We are surrounded by all these Christians, Buddhists, and Hindus.
Where, here?
In Sri Lanka.
Okay.
We exchange with you and all. We give them and they give us. We used to eat all these stuff. Right? Now that we know that we are not South Koreans, what are we supposed to do with the food? Are we supposed to throw it or give it to someone?
I mean, there are many cats and dogs in Sri Lanka. I went there. Seriously.
But they don't eat sweets.
The dogs?
Yeah.
No, the dogs eat anything, bro. Dogs eat anything. Wa alaikum salam. Tayyib. How did we get here? La ilaha illallah. Aywa. Fahada afradu al-furud alayhi wa awjab al-wajibat. So this is among the most, the most, what is the word I'm looking for? Afradu al-furud. Fard, what is fard? Compulsory. the most compulsive, I guess, of compulsory acts, and the most important of obligations, the most obligatory of obligations is this issue of tawheed and shirk. That's why we say minor shirk, even though it's minor, is still a greater sin than a major regular sin. Minor shirk is greater than a major sin. Major sin like consuming alcohol, like, you know, theft, things of the sort that are grave, very grave, with a punishment and so on and so forth. Yet, when you go to the area of shirk, that is even greater than all types of sins. So, this is minor shirk, let alone major shirk, which will obviously completely put an end to someone's belief in Allah. It will just end it. There's no room, there's no flexibility in that regard. Ayah 15. قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Say, I'm afraid if I disobey my Lord, the punishment of a great day. The Shaykh said, فَإِنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ فِي الشِّرْكِ تُوجِبُ الْخُلُودَ فِي النَّارِ. Ma'asiyah, disobedience, but in the tunnel of shirk, necessitates permanent residence in the hellfire. Huh? A sin that is of shirky nature, if we may say, will necessitate permanent abode in the hellfire, unless a person repents. While he's alive or after he dies?
Before.
That's why there's a misconception. If one of us has a near-death experience, like what happened to me last week, when I was diving and I was 20 meters deep, 20 meters under the surface, and I ran out of air. You know, you have a tank?
Yes.
Long story. Al-Muhim, I saw death with my eye, but I didn't die. Alhamdulillah. Al-Muhim, what are you supposed to do at this moment? Aywa. Some people say, one, I was telling this to someone, he said, you should do istighfar. Sah? Astaghfirullah, 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 tubu ilayh. Correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
What is the evidence?
Fir'aun.
And the ayah, the explicit ayah in the Quran, that the tawbah will not be accepted by Allah, when you khalas, you are at the verge of death. Now you want to say, oh, I've been doing A, B, C, D, F, G, okay, now I know I'm dying in 10 seconds, so here I am repenting to Allah. Does it count? It doesn't count. It's the only time where tawbah does not count. Or the other time, if when the sun rises from where it sets. At the end of time, once the people see that they want to repent to Allah, Allah will not accept the tawbah. So if one of us is having this kind of experience, then the only thing you should say is, La ilaha illallah. Because whoever's last words, La ilaha illallah, will enter Jannah. As for doing istighfar, that's the wrong time. Huh? Should have been doing that an hour before. Long story. I stayed in the hospital for 2 days, man. It was crazy, bro. I just said it was crazy. But the end result is an 8-kilo najil. Anyways, that's bad. فَإِنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ فِي الشِّرْكِ تُوجِبُ الْخُلُودَ فِي النَّارِ وَسَخَطِ الْجَبَّارِ. And the anger of the jabbar is the irresistible, or the full of might. وذلك اليوم هو اليوم excuse me الذي يخاف عذابه ويحذر عقابه. So يوم عظيم, what is يوم عظيم? Who can remember something that was attributed to Umar رضي الله عنه about this particular word? He was reciting سورة المطففين, صح؟ ويل للمطففين يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم. So what did Umar say? يعني Umar رضي الله عنه was reading this, of course he started crying, and then he said something to the effect, if Allah the عظيم, Allah is great, full of greatness, if he calls something great, you better believe it's great. Here, great, not, and because the English language is a little funny, Because we say great, oh great, great to see you. Not that great. Something, yani, of magnitude, of huge, immense, you know, massive, whatever you want to call it. So look at that. If Allah called it great, you better believe that it is something that is amazing, yani, beyond human understanding. So that is a day which the punishment of which should be feared, and one should be afraid or should be cautious of its punishment. لِأَنَّهُ مَنْ صُرِفَ عَنْهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَهُوَ الْمَحْرُومُ مرحوم. I'm sure that's a big difference, huh? Subhanallah. I was thinking this, the sentence doesn't make sense. Because whoever has the punishment diverted away from him, then he is the one who has been shown mercy. Now look at the Arabic language. مرحوم is from رحمة, meaning one who has been given رحمة. محروم, huh? Aywa, hurima, which is what? No. No, it's in the Quran. The word mahroom comes in the Quran in a few occasions. Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Inna la mahroomun. Sah? Mahroom is deprived. Deprived. Aywa, hurima. Now, mashallah, tabarakallah. It occurs in a couple places in the Quran, and I was going to say something. Aywa. Al mahroom, al mum, aywa. The ulama say, man hurim al usul, something usul. من ترك الأصول حرم الوصول, or something to this effect. Whoever stays away from the fundamentals of this deen, he will be deprived of arrival at his destination in terms of the acquisition of knowledge. If you don't have the usul, you will get lost. Go left and right, up and down, you won't ever get there. In terms of acquiring knowledge that is beneficial, if you don't begin with the fundamentals of the deen, you will never arrive. You will never arrive. And mahroom is the one who has been deprived. So I made a mistake. Instead of saying marhum, I said mahroom, and that is the complete opposite meaning. Either marhum, shown mercy, mahroom, deprived. In this case of mercy as well. A. وَمَنْ نَجَى فِيهِ فَهُوَ الْفَائِزُ حَقًّا. And whoever makes it on that day, or is saved on that day, then he is the true winner. كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَنْجُ مِنُهُ فَهُوَ الْهَالِكُ الشَّقِيِّ. Similarly, the one who does not, he is not saved from that day, is the one who is destroyed and wretched. Ayah 17. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ.
Huh?
16. I missed one? So why was I then reading right now? 16. Got it. But look, the funny thing here, it has 16 and 17 and the same tafsir. The same, exact same paragraph. So I don't know how that happened. Maybe they combined the ayat. Does it have that in your, what I was reading right now?
No, you read 16 already.
Aywa.
You mentioned 16.
Mashi.
Yes, 15, 16.
So they put them together?
No, separate.
Can I see Malisha? Yes. Because I want to see if there's something wrong with my text or... That's what I read right now.
Yes.
So like I told you, they combine them here. They combine 15 and 16 together. That's why. So now, 17 wa min adillat tawhid. طيب جزاك الله خير. Yeah, that was to get together. So now, what I was reading is then we continue, right? وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. The English says, and if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no remover of it except Him. And if He touches you with good, then He is over all things competent. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, وَمِنْ أَدِلَّةِ تَوْحِيدِهِ أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى الْمُنْفَرِدُ بِكَشْفِ الضَّرَّاءِ وَجَلْبِ الْخَيْرِ وَالسَّرَّاءِ. From among the evidences of the oneness and uniqueness of Allah is that He is the only one who single-handedly can remove harm and is the one who brings about good and pleasure. ولهذا قال وإن يمسسك الله بضر من فقر أو مرض أو عسر أو غم أو هم أو نحوه. If Allah afflicts you with any harm such as poverty, so that's an evidence that poverty is what? A form of harm. Because you know, some people, they strive to be poor. And they think that being poor is superior to being rich. Incorrect. نعم المال الصالح للرجل الصالح. How excellent is the righteous money for the righteous slave. Because the one who has money can spend في سبيل الله, can do so many acts of worship based on his wealth that the poor man cannot. So there's no harm in someone acquiring wealth provided that it is halal and provided that it does not distract him from the fundamentals and the obligations of the deen. And you all know the hadith of Hanzala. Hanzala radiallahu anhu, when he came across Abu Bakr and he told him nafaqa Hanzala, that Hanzala became a hypocrite. He told him why. He said we would be with the Messenger of Allah and his company alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will be reminding us of Jannah and Nar as if we can see him, as if we can see them with our eyes, you know. The Sahabi, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his name is Hanzala. So, and then we go back, then we go to our wives, huh? And we go chasing our livelihood, trying to earn money, and we mix with the kids and everything. We forget. Yani, we in the Messenger of Allah, we are in the state of spirituality and faith and engagement and so on and so forth, and we're all in that yani khushu', huh? Then we go home, mafi. It goes down. So this is in his mind, this is what? Hypocrisy. In front of the Messenger of Allah, we're righteous. And when we leave, we're not as righteous. Mind you, that he's not saying about falling into sins. He's saying that he does not have the same level of spirituality. So he said this to Abu Bakr. What did Abu Bakr say? Wallahi, I have the same issue. This is the same conflict I'm having. So let us go to the Messenger of Allah. And this is hadith sahih. I'm shocked some of you are hearing this for the first time. So they both went to the Messenger of Allah, and Hanzala said, Nafaqa Hanzala ya Rasulallah. Hanzala became a hypocrite of the Messenger of Allah. He said, Wali, why are you saying that? How come you say that? He told him the same thing. In your presence, we're in the company, you remind us of Jannah and Nar, and we feel as if we can see them with our eyes, and then we go back home, start, you know, trying to earn a living, getting doing our work and mixing with the wife and kids. So our iman is not at the same level. He told him, Wallahi, if you were to remain in the same condition that you were in when you were with me, when you're back home, then the angels will shake your hands in the streets. Yani, you will become at this level of iman that is not really normal for a human being. The malaika would give you salam and shake hands with you in the streets, which doesn't happen. So he told them, sa'a wa sa'a, an hour like this, and an hour like that. This is the way it is. An hour where your iman is strong and everything, like during a lesson, and then an hour where it is not as high. Now, we're not saying 1 hour of iman and 1 hour of sins and disobedience. La la la. We're not saying that. But we may not be able to maintain that level of submissiveness and remembrance of Allah. We cannot actually around the clock. So the Prophet ﷺ acknowledged what the Sahaba were going through, and he told them that it's going to be an hour and an hour. Like, you know, not there's no perfection in this particular regard. Clear? So that's an interesting hadith and a very important hadith actually. How did I get here? Na'am. So faqr, aw marad, or if Allah afflicts one of us with illness, aw usrun. Usr. What is usr?
Hardship.
Hardship or difficulty, sah? The opposite of usr is? فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ أيوة. أَوْ غَمٍ غَم. What is غَم? Sadness, sorrow, huh? Anxiety. غَم is like you feel like there's a mountain over you, you know? أَوْ هَمٍ or a worry, concern. أَوْ نَحْوِهِ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوْ وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرِ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So if any of these are, if we are afflicted by any of these, harm, poverty, huh, sickness, then none can remove it except Allah. None can remove it except Allah. Bring all the doctors in the world, If they wanted to cure you from some illness, if Allah doesn't have it meant and decreed, it will never happen. A. فَلَا كَشِفَ أَيْنَ عَمْ بِخَيْرٍ وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. If he gives you something good, then verily he is able to do all things. فَإِذَا كَانَ وَحْدَهُ النَّافِعُ الضَّارِ. So if Allah Azza wa Jal single-handedly alone is the one who benefits and harms, فَهُوَ الَّذِي يَصْلَحِقُ أَنْ يُفْرَدَ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَالْإِلَهِيَّةِ. So it is, he is the only one therefore who should be singled out in تَوْحِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ, which is the Lordship, meaning identifying and recognizing him as the Lord, and ilahiyya in the sense meaning worship. So you acknowledge that Allah is the only creator, so you worship him alone. So the true Lord and Savior is who? Allah, not Jesus. The Christians will tell you the Lord and Savior is Jesus, and the judge on the day of judgment is Jesus, and I don't know what else, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So to them, Jesus became really more important than God. Even though they may acknowledge God somewhere in the background, but their whole life revolves around Jesus. Only when they speak of Trinity, God gets remembered. Oh yeah, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But their relationship with the Father is very weak compared to their attachment and fascination with Jesus. That's why if you go to their homes, especially Catholics, all over the place, pictures of Jesus, statues of Jesus, and Mary, and Saint I don't know who, and Saint I don't know what. Even though the Christians have depicted an image of God the Father, but you will hardly ever see it. You will hardly ever see it. It's always about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So, you know, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, obviously Jesus is going to say to them, I don't know you. I don't know you. Did I tell you to worship me? Did I tell you to take me and my mother as gods besides Allah? And yeah, that the Christians say, oh, wait. Well, we Muslims gave you da'wah for a long time, you're thick-headed, but you don't want to listen. Because it's the religion of your forefathers, and how could you leave the church, and how could you this, and how could you that? And then they don't want to have a discussion with you. When they know that you will defeat them with the arguments, the Christians would not want to debate with you on Islamic Christianity. Their favorable answer is what? I'll tell you what. You respect my religion, I respect yours. Huh? Aywa. Don't talk to me about religion. I know God loves me. Oh, they have the rosary all day, sitting there. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary fi'aynik. Hail Mary ish batteekh. Sitting there remembering all God all while they getting drunk and eating swine and violating all of the 10 commandments and the 20 commandments and the million commandments in the Old and the New Testament. But they want to remember God now, and they tell us that they're going somewhere. No prayer, no fasting, nothing. And whatever they do is not the way of Jesus anyways. Whatever they do is invented. They fast, they leave alone certain food, but it's okay to eat, you know, bread and meat and water and whatever. Ishadi Abu Yar is this fasting man. It's a diet. Just say you want to lose weight, we will understand. Yeah, they call it fasting in 40 days. We have in Lebanon, we have crazy denominations of Christianity, which you will not even find them in your local country. Maronites Christians and all kinds of funky Christians that come up with their own thing that no one else agrees. Then you go to the Philippines, they have their own denominations of Christianity that you may not find elsewhere. Then you go to America, oh, mashallah. Every other block, there's a new church with a new pastor or priest with his own twist on Christianity. He's homosexual, but it's okay. Huh? Has a homosexual following, and all of them are a bunch of fags, excuse my language, going to church together to worship God. There's no limit for what they do, these people. It's a joke. It's a joke. These Christians, man. And we try to knock some sense into them, and they don't want to be educated. Some of them are, like our beloved brothers, mashallah, tabarakallah, the Balik Islam, but the majority of them are too dumb. And then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will try to fix it, and it will not be fixed. It's just not going to happen. So they have 40, 50, 60 years to work it out right now. That's why if you have Christian family members, strive to give them da'wah in the best way possible. Don't ignore this very important task. Many of them are ignorant, and many of them know the truth but don't follow it. Either way, it's our responsibility to bring the truth to them, inshallah. Anyways, So with this, we conclude. Aywa. We will conclude because the next ayah really is amazing. The next ayah is one of the ayat which we use to prove the transcendence of Allah over His creation, which was the topic of the khutbah last week or the week before at the Mushrifa Da'wah Center. But anyways, I don't want to begin the discussion now since it's lengthy. So we conclude the dars with this. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.